everybody. This is Tommy Breedlove, and today I am talking to my man, Derek Champagne, about becoming legendary and participating in your own rescue.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. You heard it, Tommy Breedlove in the house with us today. He's a featured keynote speaker, author of the forthcoming book, Legendary, Discover Brilliance, Achieve Meaning, Ensure Financial Success. He's a premier business and mindset coach, and he's a friend. Tommy, thanks for being with me today.
Derek, I'm so excited for this. I have been looking forward to this for weeks. I can't wait to see the magic that you and I can do together, and I hope your listeners get a whole lot out of this.
Man, I'm excited. I've known about you. We have some mutual friends and a mastermind together, but you and I connected at a table for the first time at the Super Bowl breakfast there in Atlanta, your hometown there, and got to do a follow-up call, and I was just really impressed with the conversation. It was electric, dynamic, and you've got an amazing story. So here's what I'd love to do. I want our guests to get to know you better and know who they're listening to, and give us a little bit, kind of tell us about your background. We'll jump into the book, we'll do those things, but I want to hear, who is Tommy Breedlove, what's some of your background, and give us an insight into you and some of your past and where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I am from the ATL here in Atlanta, Georgia. I am one of the few people that was born and raised here. There's not many of us. It's a big transplant city. So yes, and we're recruiting Falcons and Braves fans. So please jump on board with us. We need all the help we can get.
Yes.
I'm here in Atlanta. I've been married since 2001 to Heather Breedlove. She is the rock and oak in my life and has shown me unconditional love over the years, even when I couldn't love myself. And so that's a little bit about me personally. I have a dog named Hodges Piper. That's a whole interesting story. The reason he named Hodges is because we found him on Hodges Farm Road living in a pipe. So we called him Hodges Piper. So that's a little bit about my family. Professionally, I spent 20 years in very large financial consulting, public accounting, and mergers and acquisitions firm. I had came from humble, good, solid, blue-collar beginnings. I'm the first person in my family to graduate college. I'm really proud of that, and my family's really proud of that. I believe, Derek, that I'm on evolution 3 in my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. When I was 18 years old, as a young man, I made a tragic mistake, committed a violent crime, and was facing 7 years in jail. Luckily, by the grace of God and some good luck and some hard work, those were dropped to misdemeanors. I was sentenced to quite some time, ended up spending my 19th birthday incarcerated.
Wow.
But went from jail to a nuclear waste container factory, to community college, to the University of Georgia, to Deloitte, which was at the time the largest public accounting and financial consulting firm in the world in less than 3 years. Really proud of that from a lot of hard work. But Derek, what I didn't deal with was any of my ghost clouds and demons from my youth. And so fast forward to 37, here I am, a principal in a very large firm based in the Southeast United States. I've got the fancy car, I've got the office, got the title, cufflinks, you name it. On the outside, I look like I have everything going on, but there was this wake of destruction behind me because I wasn't just being me. And I looked up, and if there was a checklist of 100 things not to do, I checked off about 90 of them. I wasn't living in my value systems. I was wearing all these masks and armor that we wear as a man, tough guy, important guy, cool guy, can't show weakness guy, and literally none of those guys were me.
Yeah.
And it almost cost me everything at 37 yet again. And so this time I decided to deal with my stuff. So I went on this, we'll call it spiritual transformation, brother. That sounds a whole lot cooler than hitting rock bottom. But I decided to transform my life and really double down on me emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And really physically, and the most amazing thing happened in my life is professionally, I went from principal, which is a junior partner, to international practice leader, senior partner, eventually elected to the board of directors of a very large firm at the age of 39. Most of the other folks on that board were in their 60s. I was really proud of that. But I knew at that point it wasn't my calling in life. And so because I went through such a big transformation in my life and a lot of what I call alpha ambitious males, entrepreneurs, corporate executives, lawyers, bankers, CPAs, you name it, they saw me go through this massive transformation and they knew I didn't give up my ambition or my desire to be successful as a businessman. But they did see me living with more peace, fulfillment, happiness, compassion, empathy. My marriage went from basically crumbling to the best it's ever been. My network was 10x'd. My financial situation was 100x'd just from being a good dude. So all of these males and men's men, you know, the dudes, you know the dudes we're talking about.
Yeah.
They started reaching out to me. They say, "Hey, man, I want a little. Give me that magic pill. You know, what's that light switch or magic potion, or show me how to do this." And I'm like, "Man, it's a lot of hard work." So that's when I knew, even at the top of my game in my financial career, I was being led to be a mindset, relationship, and business coach for a lot of type A executive men. And I don't want to change these men. I just want to give them some more skills to be the best leader, the best father, the best business guy, but also the best human they can be. So that's a really 5-minute version of who I am and what I do. And I love speaking about it. I love talking about it. And I've got a I'm in the pain and purpose business, brother. And I'm telling you, I absolutely love what I do for a living. And I'm so excited to be here with you, man.
That's awesome, man. Your story, as you know, because you hear it all the time, is changing lives. We've had a guy like a mutual friend of ours, Aaron Walker, share his story. And seeing lives change that way. You sharing it like you are, I really appreciate it. You know, you mentioned something interesting. You talk about the profile of who you were. Tough guy, man's man, no weaknesses. I've been there. I've been there myself. And I really relied, I prided myself on relying on myself only because I was Superman and I didn't need others. Now as I'm older and wiser, and I'm talking to some of these younger guys, I say that works until it doesn't. And one day it just does not work. And that's when you've got to work on the inside because it's exhausting. Tell me about what kind of life changes are you seeing? Again, I know the person, individual you're describing because I've been there, but that whole crumbling on the inside, what are you seeing right now with unhappy executives? And what are you seeing as far as life transformation of people making changes, doing the hard work and actually coming out the other side?
The most profound thing there, and this is 90% of the men that I work with on a daily basis, is they're great men, they're ambitious, they're driven, they're business focused, and they want to make a difference. However, because of the pressures they feel, whether in their company, financially, or just that pressure for more, you know, more, with us knowing we're never going to get to that finish line, it's never going to be enough, and we also struggle from perfection and control,
right?
But what's amazing about us men, if you asked all of us, especially the clients that I represent, we would all put our families, our wives, our children, what's most important to us, we would say that, right? But it's the number one thing that we compromise. And there's a whole lot of other compromises. And when I say compromise, I'm talking about conquering and managing your time. I'm talking about putting them second. I'm talking about not being present. When you're at home, you're thinking about work. When you're at work, you're thinking about home. It's kind of the curse of ambition, right?
Right.
And so the thing that I see the most is, and I'm probably shooting myself in the foot here, when guys come to work with me, you know, they want to level up their business. They want to level up their lives. They just want to sharpen some skills that they don't have. But it's amazing to me. It always leads to some sort of, I won't call it trouble, but some sort of thing they're lacking in their relationship. It could be intimacy or romance or friendship. They just lost the way with their wives or their significant others, or they're just not the father that they hope to be. And they wonder why this is all happening. And I come from the school, because I've been through this life. I was them, by the way. I was that guy. And it literally almost cost me everything. But I was compromising. You know, it's interesting. I wish guys would not come to me when they're on the trauma table. I wish they would come to me. I wish they would come to me when they're feeling a little bit off and not when they're totally off.
Well, but isn't that when amazing, that's when we usually do things, though, isn't it? When you ask someone what right, motivates you to make a change, well, it's usually pain.
Pain.
Right.
Pain. On a side note, Derek, something. I want to say something really, really positive, though. There's been a shift, though, with a lot of gentlemen right now who are making major transitions. You know, they're later in their careers, late 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they're looking for that second or third career to find that fulfillment and purpose. I love working with men on that front, too. So that's been really exciting. Yeah. It's helping them find that second phase and really a purposeful, meaning life and using their skills to improve themselves, their communities, their families. That's been amazing. But getting back to what we were talking about, it's amazing to me the amount of compromises from all of the armor and masks that we'll wear. And you said it best, we won't ask for help. A lot of my guys have big responsibilities and big pressures and big stress. And a lot of it's internally that they put on themselves.
Sure.
And because they believe somewhere in their hearts and minds that they're really doing the best thing for society and their family by working. I was that same guy. Ye who turns the lights off last wins, right?
Right.
But brother, that is just a recipe for looking back with regrets. It's a recipe for burnout. And let me be clear, when we get tired, we become dangerous.
Right.
We become dangerous to ourselves. We become dangerous to our families. And we start compromising. And it starts in little things. Not going to a ball game of your son. Not showing up for a dinner with your family. It's little compromises. And we don't realize how those compound into major, major things in both our business and our lives. And I see this every single day, man, and I'm just here to speak truth. There is a razor thin line between the top of the mountain and the ditch. And once you start compromising your values, you can fall all the way off the top of the pyramid really quickly. I see it every single day. And the thing that we hate the most, and I'm going to just say it, and we don't like to talk about it, is us ambitious males, we hate to be, we just don't like it when we are humiliated. And it's a razor thin line between being on the top of the game and being, you know, making a major integrity or value compromise in the name of success, business, and power. So I hear it every day of my life, brother.
Man.
But the most rewarding, yeah. I got to say the rewarding part, Derek. I got to say the rewarding. So I've been talking all this darkness. Now let's talk about light. Let's talk about light. There is nothing better, brother, when you are sitting, and I'm a big breakfast guy. I love coffee, eggs, bacon. I know that's not the healthiest thing, but I love it.
Sounds
good. I mean, I love it. I love it, my man. And when you're sitting over a manager, an executive, an entrepreneur, a corporate leader, and you get that guy, I almost think that I need to have a crying metric, but he's crying in all the right ways. You know, when you get that big bear hug and he's like, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I've plugged back into my family. I've plugged back into my life. And most importantly, I've invested in myself emotionally, mentally, and I'm sharpening my tools. And they look at me and they're like, I can't tell you what this has meant in my life, my family, and just as importantly, my business. Because what you talk about leadership. When they become that compassionate, empathetic, listening, building trust leader, both in the home and in their businesses, the effects from their network to their family, to their love, to their peace, their happiness, their time management. And for a lot of us, even for our financial, it's 100x, man. So yeah. that is the juice. When you get that just level of just transparency and authenticity, and these guys are like, thank you. That at the end of the day means more to me than anything else, brother.
That's huge. You know, you talked about that, and thank you for sharing that. So encouraging. You talked about, you know, we don't usually stay on the dark things for too long either, but I think for this, it's important to highlight the path to destruction to make sure that we avoid it. And this show is about, our tagline is be an intentional leader. And self-proclaimed, I woke up and realized I wasn't. I've told you that about 4 years ago. It's why we started this show. I realized, I'm unintentional. I'm a leader. And number two, I'm unintentional. And I looked at my past. I was a dad. I had had eight. I was on my eighth company. I had been on stage since three. And I'm just now figuring that out at 39. Oh no! How scary! But that's the point of the show now. And the people listening are saying, "No, I want to be intentional. I want to be a good leader." We have one of our core values is the little things are important, and that seems cliche maybe, but it is so important. Just because in our business, we have seen everything crumble when we miss the small stuff. And if we don't look at the small things, then we are missing the bigger things. And so I truly believe little things are important matters in every area of our lives. It's compromise. It's like you mentioned, missing game here and there. Now that can't be avoided sometimes, but it's making those decisions of choosing something else over your values. And you have to have your character be consistent with your values. Man, that's great stuff. I'd like to ask for a few specifics. So I'm somebody here that I can relate to that. And I'm saying I may, you know, we have men and women obviously listening to the show. I'm a person who can relate to that drive. But what do I do? Because the flesh seems to get in the way and I'm doing this for my family. What are some tangible things we can do to stay on the right path? Because it's easy to say, yeah, I do want to make a change. And it's sometimes even easier to slide back into what we know, being the alpha and providing, because that's what we're good at.
Yeah, the biggest, and that's such a great question. And there's a lot of little things. And you said it best. You just said something completely profound. And I want your audience to hear it. It's little things. It's just like going to the gym. I mean, whether it's leadership, being the best man that you can be, being the best woman you can be, being the best family person you can be, it's the baby steps and it's building those muscles each and every day of your life. Mm-hmm. When you go to the gym, you're not going to be the best basketball player, the best late weightlifter or runner or swimmer. It takes time. You've got to, Rome was not built in a day. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing goes in place with our leadership. The same place goes with our emotional and our heart and our compassion space. We don't like to talk about that, especially as alpha males. I'm talking about the love muscle, but also your mindset. Something we don't talk about a lot is that self-critic, that inner pressure of perfectionism and control and the insecurities that we all have, even at the top level, we've all got our insecurities and worthiness issues. Huh. And so the first thing you do is you start baby steps to building your heart, your mind, your leadership, your, you know, whatever facet in your life that's out of balance. And sometimes we, you know, I think balance is a myth, but I think we have to shift it. So for me, some baby steps that you could take today, and I know this sounds cliche, but this first one has been the most profound thing I've ever done in my life. And I have a formal gratitude practice and an informal gratitude practice. And I know that sounds, now, how is that going to help me feel more balanced? Here's how it's going to help you. And I'll tell you what mine is and then kind of make one of your own. What gratitude does is it instantly gets you out of the place of fear and competition and in a place of abundance and presence. Huh. When you are grateful, you are thinking about all of the things in your life that you have that mean something to you. And in that moment, you're in a place of appreciation, thanks, and gratitude. And what happens then is you're also present. You're not at the next meeting or the next thing or thinking about the past or what do I have to do next. You're right here, right now. And over time, it makes you really present and really appreciate the things that you do have, because us as ambitious people, we want more, more, more. And candidly, it's never going to be enough. Yeah. So starting a formal and informal practice, my formal practice is I have two formal practices as I get up every single day of my life. I have a big morning routine. And one of those things is writing down five or six things that I'm grateful for. And it could be very small things, like just thinking that my heart is beating today, that I get to serve one more day, that my lungs are filled with air over and over again. Or it can be something major that I did a wonderful dinner the night before. But I always list five things. And here's the hard one. And this one I'm going to shout out to your males. Let's see if you've got the courage or the intestinal fortitude to do this one, gentlemen. Is at night, look your wife in the eye and tell her five things that you're grateful for. And it doesn't have to be completely about her, but some of them I would encourage you to give some of them about her. That'll be one of the most profound things. And then my informal practice, and this has almost become a state of being, Derek, is during the day is when I find myself getting stressed or worried about the next meeting or a little bit out of balance, or we get in our days, right? We get very competitive and perfectionism. I immediately, whether I'm in the car or I take a second and breathe, and then I literally look around me and I was like, oh man, look at that tree out there. And just take a couple of seconds and just say thank you for the tree and the oxygen it provides and the greenness that it is. And I just literally, when I feel stressed or out of balance or I'm starting to get in that place of competition or am I good enough? You know, the what I call the Tommy go round, that self-critic in our brain, is informally go straight to gratitude. And I'll be quick on the second and third one. The second one that's really been, I would say, the second most profound thing in my life is a meditation practice. I teach meditation to a lot of people, but to me, meditation means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But to me, it's exercising your mind so that you can get quiet, so that you can get present right here, right now. And when tough things come up, you know, that important call, that pressure from a client, that tough conversation you've got to have with a family member, an employee, meditation gets me present and gets me in a place of I can do this. And also it gives me tools to go in with the mindset of a great leader or a great father or a great man. So meditation has been profound for me. And I teach all sorts of different tools and tactics for that to a lot of different people, but that's also a practice. Wow. So we just talked about gratitude. That's working on your heart. We talked about meditation. That's working on your brain. And for me, I've done this now for 8 years. To me, one of the most important things is you and I, Derek, we're in the same mastermind group. Mm-hmm. I have an inner board of directors of men that I can lean on and lead into that won't judge me, that help hold me accountable to my values, but also help me the best man and business person I can be. Mm-hmm. I would say if you're a leader or wanting to be a leader, or you're wanting to be a great man or woman, get a coach and get a group of inner. I have a coach. I have a life coach. I have a psychologist, and I'm in a mastermind. And I do coaching for a living. I think great coaches have coaches.
Yes.
But great leaders have leaders in their life. So mm-hmm. I would invest in someone to help hold you accountable and to help sharpen your skills to be the best person that you can possibly be. So that would be three takeaways that I would give any of your listeners today.
Huge, huge, great advice. You know, something that you said is key for me, and I've admitted it on here several times, is as happy as I was, and even with faith and family and good things at work, I would still feel like peace eluded me. Because I was so, because I'm such an ambitious person. I have, you know, maybe it's the way I was raised, it's some things in the past I can dig up, but I've just always been trying to build the next thing. And my wife would say, Derek, you don't even take time to stop and celebrate all these things.
So powerful.
You just, and I said, I can't get the peace, and I would trade anything for some peace. You need faith. No, I am a person of faith. I pray about it, but it's the peace. It eludes me. And I had that for so many years, and to have peace and fulfillment, there's not a price tag you can put on that. And priceless. so many people are focused on the ambitious, are so ambitious and focusing on the success side in one category and missing the other part. So that's important. Being present. Wow. Who doesn't, what father or mother or parent doesn't struggle with being present? We have so much else going on. It's hard.
That's it. And be where your feet are.
Yeah. I hate it. I hate it as a dad. I hate it. I had this last night. I was going to meet some people and my son and I had time to hang out, and I found myself getting distracted with emails. I'm like, my son is right here looking at me. He's 7. He's looking at me like a hero. What are we going to, there's nowhere else in the world that he wants to be than right there with me right now. And I'm thinking about something from work that's not even a priority. What am I missing out on right now? I'm missing out on this amazing human that wants to spend time with me. That's amazing. But yet I'm more worried about others and what they think of me and going and taking care of things for them. That's crazy. So I appreciate your advice. It's timely. It's important. That board of directors, yes, we're in a mastermind together. I understand the value of that. And here's my encouragement to you leaders out there, even those of you that don't like to get correction. It is important.
Which is most of us.
Which is most of us. It is, and I don't either. You tell me I have to read a self-help book? I don't want to. I know how to get up early in the morning. I don't need to read a book about getting up at 5 a.m. I'm already up. So sometimes I can say I don't need the help. You do need the help. And we hear often, you don't know what you don't know. And you don't see yourself. You see yourself differently than others do. And others see you differently than you see yourself. We need people around us that are going to help hold us accountable, encourage us, and help us with staying in some boundaries. I talk about bumpers when we put up bumpers for our children who are bowling. We need some bumpers to keep the ball from going off the track. You still got some margin there to be yourself and to make your decisions, but we need people around us to help us stay in those lanes. And that's the accountability I think is really important, so we don't hit some of those dark areas in our life, or we know what to do if they come.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's not about changing you as a person. And I think it's important to say that we all have blind spots. And it's not about changing our talents or who we are as humans. That is not what a great coach is in the business of doing, or an accountability partner. Point. It's about giving you or sharpening skills that you need to improve a little bit to be the best leader and human that you can possibly be. It's not about changing you. You're not flawed. But let me be clear. We all have our struggles. We all have our fears. We all have our insecurities. I am loaded with them. That's why I do this for a living. And that's why I spend 2 hours a day working on me. But you're not alone in that battle. And we like to think that we're alone and we're the only one with these challenges. No, you're not. But we're not here to change you. We're here to make to give you a little more skills and in baby steps to make you the best person that you can possibly be. You said something that really hit me. And I got to share a ninja trick since we're giving takeaways here. And this was not this is not my ninja trick. I'm going to give a shout out to my virtual assistant who has just been a godsend to me. Her name is Lindsay Macatalo, and she's based out of Minnesota. And you said something great. We never us ambitious people. It's a gift and a curse. Because I believe wanting more is where imagination, impact, and innovation happen. So we need more ambitious people because apathy is a curse.
Right.
However, with that comes it's never good enough and we never celebrate the successes. So what Lindsay implemented for me, and it has been profound, and I would consider you guys implementing this. I mean, it's just been it's been beautiful too. Every Friday, she dissects my calendar, and I live and die by my calendar. It's just something I do.
Sure.
But she puts all of the personal meetings, the workouts, the exercises, the morning routines, the client meetings, the podcast, the public speeches. She puts it from A to Z. Dinner with my wife, a conversation with a friend, and she lists it all out, and she does a celebratory email.
Yes.
And what it allows me to do is look back on our week and really just get this moment. I'm getting chills thinking about it because it means so much to me. Is it allows me to celebrate life. It allows me to celebrate our accomplishments and successes. And it looks back on things that I've already forgotten. And even just a simple, hey, you went to dinner with Heather as my wife, Heather on Wednesday night. And it puts me there and I'm thinking, yes, I get to do that. I got to do that. And you and I both know, Derek, brother, here's the thing, man. If we don't stop and smell the roses and celebrate and get present, life's going to pass us by. And the worst thing for guys like us, because, you know, we really do want to make impact. We really want to leave a legacy and significance. But if we're not celebrating and we're not present with the people that we love, we're going to look back with regret. And we don't know if or when our end is coming. All we know that it is going to come. So let's live life the best way we can possibly live with compassion, love, and ambition. I'm one of those people that believe you can have success and also be a peaceful, balanced person. I've done it. And so life is short, brother. Let's carpe diem, man. Live to the fullest, right?
Great advice. And you know, you make me think of too, I think when we're overly ambitious, and again, there's some great things about it. So we're not, it's not that we're trying to cut the legs out from under those that are innovators. But I think whenever we don't take time to celebrate, we also rob those around us who may have a different type of personality of getting to celebrate wins. We added last year, one of our core values, one of our key core values in our agency is celebrate wins. And every Wednesday we sit down and we all talk first thing in the morning and we say what happened this week for a client, for ourselves internally that we can celebrate. And everyone has to have one. If they don't have a win, we're not doing something right. We're even putting a wall in our win wall where it's going to be on chalk and it's going to be written up there all the wins that are happening because they need to celebrate. And if I don't encourage it because I like to brush right past it, then I'm really robbing those around me and it's going to feel void for them too. I don't want to suck the energy out of the room when I think that I'm the one bringing energy. Which we often do, right? We often think we're bringing the energy with our intensity. We're taking all the oxygen sometimes too.
Indeed, indeed. First of all, that is epic. That is going to have such an amazing impact on your culture, on your clients, on the relationships within the office. Oh, kudos to you. I love that. So congrats, Derek, on that, brother.
Thank you so much. Hey, we got just another minute. I want to wrap it up. Any final thoughts? And then I want to share where our listeners can find out more about you and then also learn more about your forthcoming book, Legendary.
Absolutely. So your audience can reach me. I would love to hear from you directly, and I'm serious about this. It might take me 24 to 48 hours to respond, but please send me an email. I would love to know your thoughts, your criticisms, your conclusions. I would love to know your triumphs and your tragedies, but reach out to me directly at Tommy@TommyBreedlove.com. I would love to hear from you. I would love to also hear from you if you think I'm completely full of it. So, you know, I'm always trying to sharpen my pencil as well, and I don't claim to know it all, and I work very hard on this craft. So please reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. I'm really excited about the book Legendary. And it's all of the tools, systems, wisdoms that I've implemented in my life that's been taught to me that I teach others to help build a life of meaning, significance, fulfillment, balance, to reconquer your calendar and your schedule, but to do this without compromising your ambition or your business and financial success. And being legendary doesn't mean you have to be at the level of a Martin Luther King, a Jesus Christ, or, you know, a Gandhi. It could just be whatever that means for your family and your community. And what are we going to be known for when we leave this earth? Are we, what legacy are we going to leave behind? And it's if you like some of the tools that we share today, then you'll probably love this book, because this is stuff that each of us, it's simple tools that we can implement in our life. And there's a lot of great stories of both triumphs and tragedies of what I consider people to be legends. And legends can be really anyone. And I believe we can all be that person, whatever that means to us. So I'm super excited about the book. We've set a publish date. I should have copies in my hand sometime in July. So I'm super excited about that. And the last thing I would leave to your audience is there is no magic pill to life. There is no happiness. Well, there is things, but they're not going to be sustainable. I'm not even going to give that attention. But no one's going to come save you but you. You've got to participate in your own rescue. And it's so crazy, as us individual selves, we'll invest in our businesses, the stock market, sometimes our families, but why don't we invest in ourselves to be the best human that we can be in our hearts and our minds and our souls and our businesses and in our health? And carpe diem, y'all. And double down and invest in yourself. It'll be the best investment you ever make. And I look forward to hearing how you become legend soon. So that's all I got, Derek.
Awesome. Tommy, man, thanks again for being our guest. We'll put it in the show notes, but TommyBreedlove.com. He's got this forthcoming book, Legendary. You can go to his website and find out more about it. He's got other great information. Send Tommy a note with your criticisms, with your inspiration.
with your love. I'd love to have some love, too.
Hopefully more love, yes. And that's what you'll get, I promise. And thank you again, Tom. We appreciate you. I look forward to seeing the next things that you're doing, and I appreciate the path and the mission that you have to help others be better versions of themselves without compromising ambition. And I have not heard that angle before, so I really like it. Thanks again, buddy.
What an honor.
We'll talk soon.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.